We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day. It
is. Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm in the driver's seat this morning, y'all. I'm Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad this morning. And our guest this morning is one of my absolute favorites, Sister Melanie Randall. How are you this morning, beautiful sister?
I am doing just great.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still post it in the comments on the Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that posted shortly as ended. Our sponsor for today is the Refuge Church, Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey, y'all. And today is Thursday. We will have a word from Pastor Dwight. He's not in the building, but we do have a word from him through the Truth broadcast. The title of that today will be The Faithful God. I think I covered it all, Miss Melanie. Right. Would you please pray to start us out?
Father God, I just thank you, Lord. This is the last month of this year on the calendar that we here in America use, Lord, and we know that the new year's already come in on your calendar, God. And so, God, I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness down throughout the year. Thank you for all that you have done for each and every one of us. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for just times of joy. Thank you for times of adversity. For they are the making of us. Thank you for the changing of the seasons. And it's been still quite nice for this month of December, Lord. And we appreciate the rain that you've given us the past couple of days. And so, Father God, as I go forth in this message this morning, Lord, I just pray for each and every one that is hearing, will be taking in these words, Lord. What you've given me, Lord, in the light that has come, that has shined upon us, Lord, thank you for your light of salvation, for your light of grace, for you caring about mankind and sending your Son. And so, God, we just give you the praise for all that you're doing and are going to do. And we say, once again, we appreciate you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I really like your title this morning. The light has come.
Yes, indeed. It surely has come. And as I was doing my research, I thought, wow, this is so tied into Genesis 1, where God said, let there be light. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to sharing this morning.
Can we do something a little different this morning, y'all? I know we usually do prayer at the half mark, but my little sister is hurting.
Okay.
And her husband is really hurting this morning. His dad passed away yesterday. Amen. That man fought to live, and he went home yesterday. And they're just hurting.
Amen.
And it hurts my heart to hear my sister cry and to hear them hurting.
Amen.
So can we pray for them this morning?
Yes, most definitely. Father God, we come unto you concerning this family member of Monica's, Lord. Lord, I just, you know, it's hard when loved ones go on. Lord, you see the sorrow, you see the grief, you see the hurt. And Lord, you came that you could bear such things, Lord. You came so that you could give us a spirit of praise for that of heaviness. And you came, Lord, that you could heal the brokenhearted. You came for such times, for such hours. So I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would intervene even now, right now at this very moment. Intervene in their very lives, in their very hearts, in their spirit, in their mind, and lift the sorrow. Lift it, God. We know that they will continue to miss this individual, and there will be times that they will cry. But even for this very moment, Lord, I ask that you would lift the sorrow. Lift the hurt. Lift the grief. And as time continues to go, when they think upon this individual, let them think upon something that will bring a smile to their face. Something, Lord, that was maybe comical. Something that will cause them to even chuckle a little bit, God. Lord, I thank you for these individuals. And they need you in a special way. And so I pray that you would move in a special way, even now, to lift the heaviness of their hearts. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Cause it to be so, God. Even now, we thank you for it. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Praise God. I want to say that I have a couple pieces here I want to read in light of this being the month in which we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad that he came. I'm so glad Jesus came. I'm so glad that God loved us that much to send his son. All right, the first one is Moonlight Bright. It may have been a night the moon shined as never before. It may have been a night of a sky lit with stars. It may have been a night where angels could have pondered. It may have been a night filled with uncertainty. It may have been a night like this night where many knew not a Savior was born. For all the nights it may have been, it was the night to change the life and destiny of lost man. I can just picture this night and not many really realizing what was transpiring when Jesus was born. Even the innkeeper, he didn't realize what was going on when Joseph came in. Needing a place for he and his wife. He just thought they were just another couple coming in for the census. And, you know, this town is overrunning with people. I don't have no room for you. He didn't have no room for what was about to take place either. But imagine the shepherds that saw what they saw. I just would have liked to have seen how that all played out. I know what the Bible says, but I would have liked to visually have seen how that all played out. This next piece is called One Amazing Night. One Amazing Night. One amazing night, heaven invaded earth. One amazing night, God became flesh. One amazing night, excuse me. An announcement was made. One amazing night, glorious angels gave praise. One amazing night, a virgin gave birth. One amazing night, shepherds witnessed a miracle. One amazing night, history for man was made. One amazing night, a Savior came from glory. What an amazing night that had to be. I saw something on Facebook that they had on those big, I think they called jumbo train things, that's big old screens up on these buildings, you know what I'm talking about, and they show different things, pictures, videos, and what have you. Well, they started showing the night that Jesus was born, and it was dealing with him as being the light, and it comes in like sand, and then it all, you know, gets into place, and then you see the picture, and they showed the various scenes. It was cool, Monica. Yeah, it was nice, and it was so bright too, the way they had it on there. And so they would show like Mary and Joseph Mary on the donkey and traveling across the land, you know, getting to come to Bethlehem. And then they would show like the shepherds, you know, and then they'd show just different scenes of that night, you know, when Jesus was born. And it was, and they showed the people as they were looking at this, and they were just amazed. People just looking up and smiling, holding up their phones, you know, videoing this. And I thought, man, what an awesome thing to take place in New York City. If anything like that need to happen in New York City, yes, that was needed. And so, you know, it's just, you know, I don't, it's not like I have Christmas decorations up, but in my heart, I feel I feel this thing about Jesus. And as the closer it gets to, and I know he wasn't born on December 25th. I'm not here to argue about when he was born. All I'm excited about is that I'm glad he was born. That's why I celebrate it, because he was born. And so he's worth being celebrated. He's worth being celebrated because he gave us eternal life. And eventually I'm going to get to my message. But but I am excited to know what Jesus did when he came and walked this earth. I just don't, you know, I don't think we really realize what it really took for him to come from a place of splendor and glory and to such a sinful earth. But I think as I share this message, you will get a real appreciation for what he did as being the light. All right, the light has come. Let's go to Genesis 1. Genesis 1, and I'm going to start at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Out of the earth that was formed, you see for the first time where it says that Jesus, that God said, "Let there be light." What does that word mean, light? It means illumination. It means bright. It means clear. It means daylight. There's some synonyms I like to give you for that word illumination. And those are brightness, beam, ray, brilliance, flash, radiance. And the word brilliance itself is a synonym of the word glory. And so what we have here is when God spoke and said, let there be light, the very essence of his glory resonated in light being manifested. Now, that just excites me right there. Just that little bit excites me. That as God said, let there be light, he said what was in him, and it came up out of him. See, Colossians 1:16-17 says, all things were created through and for him, and in him all things consist. So you have to really get a picture of him speaking this. This wasn't just a casual thing. He spoke this out of himself, and the very essence of himself manifested. Because, see, it's not that he just gives light. It's that he is light. See, from time to time I'll be, you know, sharing with y'all about who God is. It's not God is just, you know, this is what I do, but this is what I am. And so God is all of these different factions of things that we bring forth sometime when we start talking about his love. He is love. You know, we start talking about his goodness, his grace, his mercy. He is all those things. It's not just he's giving you those things. He is the very essence of that. So this was quite a cataclysmic event, him just saying, let there be light. And the very essence of God's glory shows up on the scene and light comes forth. Now, when you think about that, this is what happened. I want you to keep in mind about that word brilliance and about the glory of God. Keep those particular two words in mind. When Jesus was born in Luke chapter 2. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. I want you to see this word is going to be the key word throughout light. This is what you're going to be seeing and hearing all throughout this message, that the importance of this word being used in the scripture. Okay. So this will be coming from Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. It says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Now, this is probably one that I just said we're going to be having light showing, that the word's not in this passage here, but you will be seeing in the other passage coming. But I want you to see light is represented in the fact that here at night, it says that the glory. Now, see, what we talked about? We're talking about the brilliance, the glory, the essence of God. The glory shone round about them at night. When the announcement of Jesus' birth was born, when Jesus was born. And so it was a dark time, not only by the sense that it was nighttime, but even spiritually, it was a dark time for Israel. And so Jesus came at a period of time in which the people were needing a light. They were needing this light to come into their lives because of the spiritual darkness that was there. Now, Luke 2:29, you're going to see where Simeon the prophet speaks about and uses the word light. Luke 2:29-32, and this is Simeon who had looked for the coming of Jesus. It says he waited for the consolation of Israel. Okay. And in verse 29 says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And so here is the prophet Simeon that has been in the temple all these many years, and he was waiting for Jesus to show up on the scene. And not only would Jesus be a light to his own, but it says a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. So already established at the very early stages of Jesus coming, it's letting us know that even the Gentile people would get a revelation of who he was through the light that he would walk therein. Okay. Now, in John 8 and 12, you'll see where Jesus himself speaks of who he is. And he tells us of himself being the light. And so nobody has to really wonder, you know, is he that light? No, he's going to let people know who he is. And it says here, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What does that word light mean there in the New Testament? I thought I had this off here. We're going to have to let it go for right now. But anyway, I am the light of the world. The light word light there means to shine, means to make manifest. It means luminous. And so luminous is connected to that word illumination. And when you look up luminous, it means full of, now get this, full of light or shedding light. And then it says, especially in the dark. Now we're getting somewhere here. Jesus came in the darkness of this world as a light in shining in that darkness, okay? And so that's why he said that, you know, that he was the light and nobody has a need to walk in darkness, because he came just to penetrate the darkness. He came to be that light coming through the darkness of the time on this earth. He came showing the way, and he came to his own, and even the Gentiles would be included in as well. And so let's go into John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And this, you know, is a powerful passage of scripture in John 1, because just the fact that it tells you about the Word and who God was in the beginning and so forth in the very first verse. I think I'll start there. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Okay. Now, the people that were in darkness could not comprehend. And matter of fact, many times they misunderstood. That's why they didn't comprehend, because they misunderstood him as being the light. And so what happens when you have a people that's in darkness, that's misunderstanding the light, then they become your opposition. Instead of them welcoming him when he came, they became the opposition and was always setting up confrontation. But he came. See, look at the words in verse 4. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He came as the light to give life. He came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And he did that by showing them the way that he walked in the light. Light is revelatory. Light brings revelation. It shows you what's really there. And I was sharing this at church, not this message here, but I was sharing this particular scene on a picture I have of the sun going down, and it's a beautiful picture with the sun against the rain, and you still see the yellow in the sun because it was nighttime. And I was thinking, I said, well, this is the sun, and I put on the picture, the sun against the rain, showing you the glory against the pain. Yes, that you can see that in that picture, yeah. But then God's been showing me further things in my pictures here lately than what I first seen. It's like he said, okay, there's a further meaning in here. And so I was looking at the picture, and the sun is going down, and as long as the sun was there, you had a little light there, even though darkness there. The darkness could not fully come in. This is what God was limiting. Darkness cannot fully come in until the sun went totally down. Now, this is important, people. The sun, the brightness of the sun, as long as it's there, you still have some light. But when the sun goes fully down, then the darkness comes fully in. I'm saying something here if you're not getting it. So what I'm trying to let you know, don't let the S-O-N go down in your life. Because when you let the S-O-N go down, then the other part, the darkness, will come fully in. This is what we got to know. When Jesus spoke to the multitudes and he gave them that Sermon on the Mount, I'm telling you what, I'm getting a fuller meaning of what he's talking about, us being a city, you know, and not having our light under a bushel, and we're like a city on a hill. We have to allow him, Jesus, to shine through us if the people are going to know that there's a reality in who God is. But if we don't allow God to shine in us, they're not going to see anything that they need to do differently. And so we've got to be the ones that walk this earth, allowing, we can't be talking about, you know, my faith is private. Oh, somebody ain't going to like me this morning. My faith is between me and God. Your faith is, the scripture says we're to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's not to be secret servants, agents.
We ain't undercover agents.
We not undercover, that's right. We are not undercover agents. We are to let our light so shine. We've got to let it shine. Don't let the sun go down. Don't let sundown go in your life. Mm-mm. No. The light must shine. It must shine fully. So as I said, the people that were in darkness, and I relate that to today's people that are in darkness today, when they don't understand fully about who Jesus is, and they want to oppose, they want to, cause conflict. I look at sometimes when people are witnessed to, and they just, it's like they're already got a spirit of opposition in their mindset against God. You know, they don't realize he came for them. He came for us all. He didn't come for himself. You know, he's already who he needs to be. Jesus was already who he needed to be. He came to set your identity right. Amen. John 5:33-40. John 5:33. And it says, Now, let me start at, do I want to start 33? Yes, we'll go ahead and start at 33. Because this deals with John the Baptist, the witness of John the Baptist. Anyway, it says, you have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp. Now see, look what he says. And you are willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have, Jesus is speaking this, I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. The one he sent you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life. Here he talks about John being a light. And Jesus even speaks of us as being lights of the world as well, because we are to receive the light that he was so that we can become lights. But in this passage of scripture, he talks about John bearing witness. And even in John chapter, I believe it was John chapter 1, we didn't go off into it, but he talks about he came to bear witness of the light. He says, I'm not that light, but I'm bearing witness of that light. And so he says, now you receive John more so than you receive me. The one that was the forerunner to bear witness of who I am, so that when I walked on the scene, see, what? Why was he a forerunner? He was a forerunner to introduce the people to Jesus. That was the thing right there. He came to introduce the people to Jesus. And so Jesus said, okay, here I come, and I'm introducing myself. I have come, and now you have not received me. You have not received me as the light. That's what Jesus was saying. And so he said, if you receive the witness of John, it should not be a hard thing for you to receive the witness of me. He paved the way for me to come.